Good evening, everyone. I call the May 16th, 2022 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman McElroy, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Good evening, everyone. At this time, we are on general communications. I do have one. The City Council and the administration will be having budget hearings to discuss and vote on the city budget. They will start Monday, May 23rd at 4 p.m. We will also have hearings on Tuesday, May 24th at 4 p.m. and Thursday at May 26th, starting at 4 p.m. These will be in person here in the City Council chambers. Are there any other council members that have any announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Council President. I want to call the public's attention to the Tax Relief Commission meeting coming up this coming Wednesday here in the council chambers, 5:30 p.m. This may be the final Tax Relief Commission meeting of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Anything else from council members? Okay, hearing none. We are now on executive communications. There are none. We're looking for the acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on May 2nd, 2022. Councilman Howe. Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any oppose? Any abstentions? Thank you. Okay. Next up is public comment. We have a sheet up here. Last call to sign up. If you haven't had a chance to sign up. Okay. Thank you very much. Rule 41, after the general communications and prior to the consent calendar at each city council public hearing meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. A, the total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. We have three individuals who have signed up to speak this evening. First up is Rob.
It's Michelle Comer, only because I'm only going to be a minute and I'll pass my time on to the next.
Okay, so Michelle Comer, you have signed up as
okay,
well.
Okay, 1 minute.
Go ahead.
All right, so spring warmer weather, city council budget hearings, general assembly, session recess. Those things happen every year. We just don't know the exact date. I encourage the council to do everything in their power to get before the Warwick voters two bond referendums, the school bond referendum and the open space bond referendum. These have been worked on for months. I know of the open space bond referendum. They had public meetings back in January. The council is planning to have a public meeting for the schools. So they're about tied time-wise because we're still waiting for the open bond resolution to be drafted by the bond council. So it would take a lot of drinks at the local watering hole for us to all agree here in this room on how we would vote on the school bond referendum and open space. But we're not here to argue the point. We're here to get it on the ballot. So I encourage the council and in the 11th hour now to get it to the General Assembly before the session closed mid-June. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up is Rob.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. A couple points. It's been 9 months as of today that you guys haven't done anything about the unused sick time that was stolen by the Warwick firefighters. Remember that. We'll give them some time. It's been 9 months. May came out publicly to the Journal, Boston Globe, Warwick Beacon said, we're going to seek restitution. Got all the Harrington reports, done nothing. So that tells me that the Warwick City Council is allowing theft to happen on their watch. That's what you're doing. So you guys are now a party to the offense. You realize that, right? You're a public body. You're a party to the offense of theft. So you should all be ashamed of yourself. Another point, we were notified that the mayor and his entire staff weren't having any monies taken out for the health care. Very convenient. 16 months goes by. They rack up $5,000, everybody making six figures. And now the mayor decides he's going to implement a repayment plan. So if any of you are familiar with any part of the city charter, you would know that that is a violation of the Warwick City Charter under Section 56-2. The mayor cannot engage in any contract, any written agreement, or any verbal agreement in excess of $2,500 without a public hearing and city council approval. You would have thought that somebody knew about that, but they didn't. But what strikes me more, that the finance director that oversees a $350 million plus budget didn't know that his paycheck was not being deducted for his health care. And then you have to beg the question, what kind of accountants do these people have that their accountant never said, hey, Frank, hey, Peter, where's your 1095 form? Really? This is what we have running the budget here in the city of Warwick, $350 million. It's exasperating to watch the incompetence. Another issue, budget hearings are starting, and under Section 5-4 of the city ordinances, last year you prevented us from speaking about the revenue side of the budget. We've already drawn up a complaint with the Attorney General's office. So if it happens this year, we will file the complaint. It's already drawn up. But one of the things I really want to speak about is in the course of the 15 years that I've been paying attention, I've seen some really low points historically of the Warwick City Council where members have really stooped to low levels of integrity and ethics. But last month, I think, was the worst that I've ever seen. You had a gentleman that came here by the name of Fred Potter, who spent his time and energy producing a document for you guys on a maintenance program. He's an expert in the industry, has a career of doing that. Had it hard bound for everybody. It was his first city council meeting. Handicapped, senior citizen, with a cane, dragging an oxygen cart, struggling to speak, and your graciousness gave him 1 minute and 50 seconds to speak. He was interrupted by the clerk four times. 1 minute, 30 seconds, 10 seconds, time's up, and not one member of this council had the courtesy or the integrity to look at a handicapped individual and say, time out. This man is going above and beyond to come here. Let's give him a few minutes. I want all you to think what you would have thought if it was your parent or one of your relatives. It was a disgusting display of complete lack of etiquette. And we've seen this before. A month ago, we saw another handicapped woman come here to try to present.
1 minute, Mr. Cotty.
No, I got extra time.
1 minute.
I got extra time. And I'm aware of the clock, so you don't have to interrupt me.
50 seconds, Mr. Cotty.
A month before, we had another handicapped senior citizen come here to speak to the council, and the council president engaged in a side conversation. You didn't even look at her. Do you really realize the message that you're sending? Do you think you'll ever see Mr. Potter here ever again? First city council meeting, you rushed him through. You gave him a minute and 50 seconds to speak. I mean, you guys got to do some soul searching, because it's deplorable the way that you have such disdain for the general public, who 9 times out of 10 come here and they know more than you. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat and had phone calls and watched other people educate the city council, but yet you ignore people when they come. You want to ignore me, fine. I know I'm a pain. You had a handicapped individual next to your citizen.
Thank
you. And you ignored him.
Thank you. Your time is over.
No, I have Michelle Comas time.
Your time is over, Mr. Cody.
Michelle Comas yield her time to me.
Mr. Cody,
I'm not
Potter signed up. Everyone gets 5 minutes.
Right.
Your time is up.
Michelle yielded her time to me.
Mr. Cody, your time is up.
Michelle yielded her time.
Mr. Fitzpatrick.
See, this is the problem, Mr. McAllister. You're rude and ignorant. That's what you are.
Excuse me. Everybody gets the same amount of time.
You're ignorant and you're incompetent.
You may sit down now, Mr. Cody. You may sit down, Mr. Cody. Thank you. I apologize, miss. Everybody gets the exact amount of time, no matter if it's their first meeting or their 100th meeting. Excuse me, sir. Member of the public is trying to speak. Thank you. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Kate Fitzpatrick. I just have a question. I'd like to speak on something that's referred business for today. Should I wait until that comes up in the agenda on page 3?
At this time, you can speak about anything you'd like, and you can also speak on it when it comes back as well.
I'd like to speak on it when it comes back. I apologize for signing up.
Thank you, ma'am.
Council President?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Go ahead.
I think she's talking about speaking on it tonight.
Was that the flock?
I don't know.
Ma'am, what was the item?
I'm looking at item 1 on referred business, page 3, PCO 922, and item 2 on page 4, PCO 1022. Will I have the opportunity to speak tonight on that?
Yes, that's the public hearing. Is that correct, clerk? Yes, we're doing that next.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. At this time, we are going to move to the public hearing. Under referral business, PCO 9-22, committee report. I believe that's public properties.
Move for opening public hearing.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move for public hearing, favorable action.
Second by Councilman Ricks and Councilman Foley. Councilman Latter, sir. Okay. At this time, we are going to hear PCO 9-22, an ordinance amending Appendix B of the City of Warwick Comprehensive Plan. I'm going to ask that each individual who's going to speak this evening, please try to be clear, speak into the mic, speak slowly. We have a stenographer here who's going to record everything. We will have a presentation, then I will ask members of the council if they have any questions. Then we will ask members of the public, anyone for it will speak first, anyone against it will speak next. anyone that wants to say anything will speak after that, and then we will come back. So go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Council President. Tom Kravitz, the City Planning Director. I thought it was important to speak first. I'm here as a liaison for the Planning Board. And I thought it's important for the Council to understand the travel of the application before you. When the applicant applied to the city, we and my staff put it before the Planning Board for two pre-application meetings. Those are informal meetings where there's no notice requirement, hearing requirements, but they're there really to engage the Planning Board and talk about their application. Over the course of those two meetings, the Planning Board looked at the application, and they understand that in your comprehensive plan, there's the city center concept, whereby in the city of Warwick, there are certain areas just west of the airport, around Post Road, Gilbert Street, and there are points north and south where the city is really looking to encourage an urban scale growth of bigger buildings, taller buildings. It's the only place in the city where you can encourage this kind of growth that's urban in scale west of the airport without adversely impacting the flight patterns of the aircraft. So this is where you're likely to see the taller buildings. So, you know, years ago when the city adopted the comprehensive plan to encourage this kind of growth, we never saw the development applications come forward. Certain things you can do the planning, but you cannot control the market. And lo and behold, recently, of course, as we know, with the supply and demand of housing being an imbalance in Rhode Island right now, the real estate market, of course, is strong. We saw that with Wix. We're seeing it with these applications. So the Planning Board felt that now is the time to try to encourage and run with some of these applications. This one before you particularly was the first one. There's a couple others coming. But it's really an efficient form of growth. They talked at the Planning Board about everything from school children, school enrollment. We know that the enrollment's been going down in the schools. We're in a position as a city to handle this growth and absorb it pretty easily. It's good revenue. Being apartments, and it's in the right location. Now, this particular parcel is just 2,500 linear feet west of the Interlink. It wasn't conceived in the initial planning documents that mapped out City Center, but the Planning Board felt, you know, it was close enough to consider it. And it was the Planning Board that asked this applicant when to tackle the zone changes, to not do a zone change for their own properties, but also the Mill Greystone and the Little Mill neighborhood there from the property on Kilvert just east as you head to Jefferson. It was the Planning Board's idea to say, if we're going to do this comprehensively from the 30,000-foot view, we really should extend the Gateway District west from where it is now to the applicant's property. So that's why there was a number of properties included in the advertising. I thought that was sound planning. From this point, of course, the application requires the comp plan amendment. And by the comp plan, they're merely amending the flume, they call it, the future land use map, to reflect that slight change from a light industrial to the mixed use residential. And there's also a zone change that comes with that, which is the map amendment from, I think it is the GI to the to the other zone right here. You've got it on your documents. One of the things that the Planning Board talked about at length was the details of the application, traffic. We have some traffic analysis from the engineers that the Planning Board worked with and was happy with. There was an initial unit count of 260 units. It came down to 200. They looked at the architecture of the buildings, the landscaping components. And the big sell, too, is the recreation improvements that the applicant must make along Kilvert Street to make potential bike lane combination pedestrian path sidewalk. They'll be having to engineer those features. If they get approval from the council, they have to come back to the Planning Board and finish their engineering. So that's what the Planning Board is awaiting right now. So following the process, the applicant's before you to kind of affirm these conversations that the planning board was having about the bigger view. You know, it's the only hesitation initially was, you know, you have some industrial property and you have an applicant looking to change it to a mixed use. And you, this applicant had an approval for office building on this property a couple of years ago prior to COVID. Of course, COVID kind of, you know, really pushed changes in the market. And we've seen what's happened with the office market there. It's just not there. Housing market's there. So this is why the application is before you and the planning board supports it. You have all the maps online in your packet. I'd say leave it at that. I can be here to answer questions. I know the applicant's here to answer questions along with the public.
Thank you very much, Director. Just a point of order, I'm going to ask if we can have a motion to open the public hearing. We'll get a second and then a roll call vote. So Councilman Howe.
Move to open public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Ricks. The clerk will call the roll to open the public hearing.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis? Yes. 9 yes to open the public hearing.
Thank you very much. Are there members of the council that would like to address this issue at this time? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to say that, of course, I want to thank Planning Director Kravitz for the weekly updates, communication on all the projects, but especially this project that's going into Metro Center. One of the things that I've noticed as you go around that entire area for years before my time on the council in 2017, we saw signs of City Center. We saw the seeds planted where we have that parking garage, the Interlink, opening up the transportation hub for people to become more available in wider regions. And I think it's an ideal place. There's also a lot of businesses within the restaurant and services sector that are opening and waiting to open once more people get there. As the planning director said, the city center is one of the only areas that allows for the build up, if you will, to handle not only that, but the residential. The link between the city of Warwick and all regions, I think we in Rhode Island are very lucky where they say you're 3 hours from anywhere. You know, you can go and definitely with that inner service link, it brings us a lot closer to our region and people to have an option to travel and live in Warwick and pay in Warwick and dine in Warwick and visit in Warwick and then go to work wherever they may in the region. So I after much talk and much work and a lot of good presentations, as well as give back to the community, I'm excited about this. There was this project. It addresses the need for housing. It addresses the need for livable space for citizens. And I welcome it, and I look forward to the council giving it its approval. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, certainly Councilman Howe and Director Travitz, and I'm sure others that were involved in this project, I know you all worked really hard with this. I also know Councilman Howe did his due diligence in researching the contractor that was or is proposed on doing this. Over the weekend, my wife and I were traveling through East Greenwich, and I can tell you that the economy is booming over there. The restaurants were packed, the streets were packed, the people sitting there just having a coffee or just sitting there socializing, taking a breather. And you look at that and you say, so that particular section of, I'll just refer to it as Main Street, it's not that long a street. But what's going on there is really impressive. And we don't have something as robust as that here in the city. I have questions about this pretty simple stuff. And I'll preface it by saying I completely support this. As you heard me say on one of the other items here this evening, you all know I'm a pro-housing guy. I'm a pro-business guy. You all know that. And I look at what the future or what this development can, the impact it makes on the future of our city is, I think, pretty exciting. Director, could you tell me what is the difference between the term technically light industry and mixed use? These are notes I have on my page, by the way, which I probably spent the better part of a long time going through this document. Let's put it that way. So these are where some of my questions come up, because I'm not totally sure I understand it, and I am going with the assumption that if I don't understand the difference, there's probably a lot of other people in this room that don't either.
No, that's a good question. This comes up all the time, and you're talking about the comprehensive planning maps, the land use maps, and people inherently want to compare that to the zoning maps, per se. You know, when you're looking through a zoning code, like we've actually talked about it briefly, zoning code, it's very specific. It tries to, your zoning code and the map that goes with it is the tools that the city council and the planning board use to implement the growth of their community. Backing up to the comprehensive plan and stuff like the future land use, existing and future land use maps, there's simply a more generalized descriptor of the types of intensities of uses that you're apt to see throughout the city. So they're simply more general. And I've been a planner for 22 years, and I look at it and I say, you know, it's to give the layperson a sense of the intensity of the use and where it's likely to happen in the city. And that's something they should consult before they buy a home. They'll look at the land use map, the existing and the future land use map, to get a sense of that. So something like the light industry was targeting, office uses in that part of the city, creative. They thrown out the terms of maybe software, IT. And again, that's a good idea. The plans are fine. But when the investors come to invest in your city, this project is projected to be $50+ million. They're telling you where the market is. And so it's sometimes we have to make these tweaks along the way with amendments to mixed use, which is combination residential retail in this case. In this particular case, they're looking to do our residential. I've had discussions with other developers that are excited about the city looking to put more of the retail uses right near Post and Jefferson. So there's an energy here that we're trying to capture for sure.
So I think a project such as this, where you'll have some light industry, such as restaurants, stores, et cetera, I'm assuming on the ground level, and then you'll have your residential units above. The concept is actually very good, because what's going to happen is you're going to have the folks that come in to visit the light industry, whether it be dining in the restaurants or patronizing the stores, and they're also going to be saying, not a bad place to live. So I think there's a really good marketing strategy behind this as well. Director, in here, and I didn't mark the page, but it speaks to taxes assessed on this property in 2016. I didn't see what the number was on that. Would you happen to know what the property taxes were on that property in 2016?
I do not, but I have the GIS open. I could quickly look at it. Let's see. It's assessed value, that is.
I don't mean the assessed value. I mean the actual taxes that were paid on that property.
Yeah, well, I don't have that number offhand. I can tell you that will go up.
I think it's fair to say that it's going to go up significantly, because what is proposed here is with 200 plus units.
200 units.
That's including the light industry units?
Right, but in this case, again, it's going to be the luxury apartments primarily, yeah.
Okay, so the increase to the tax base is going to be huge. Mm. The influence on surrounding businesses, not just necessarily that particular area, I would say is going to be fairly substantial. The item in, I assume there also will be some affordable, let me workforce housing units in there as well.
We are not deed restricting these units thus far. We know that the Sheridan, for example, 238 units right on Post Road is going to be workforce housing. Planning board's cognizant of that. So
okay.
We have other applications that are going to really fill that need. But yeah, the planning board is not deed restricting this project.
Okay, if you can bear with me, I got to go through some of these pages.
Yeah, the current assessment, just because I have it, is just over, well, as of recent, $1.3 million current assessment.
Current assessment, mm-hmm. $1.3 million.
But you can imagine when it's done.
Yeah,
for us.
Okay. In here, it speaks to the proposed development will have access to municipal sewer and water. So I'm assuming that connecting to the sewers is going to be mandatory. That's not anything optional because there's no septic systems there right. That I'm aware of or anything, right? So that'd be mandatory. So that is going to be another serious impact to the revenue.
True.
To the sewer department, mm-hmm. to the sewer authority, which when you add another 200 plus users onto the sewer authority, that's certainly something very important to know, because that is one of the ways of controlling, or I should say, holding down the increased cost of operating the sewer authority. Mm. That monster is there, whether we have everyone connected to the sewers or we have no one connected to the sewers. It's there. And the fact that this development passes when it's completed, that's going to have a very positive impact for the customers as well as the sewer authority.
Mr. Lattice, so that's exactly the conversation the planning board had, and when we use the term efficient growth.
I don't have your office bug, sir, honestly.
No, but this is what the planning board talks about. It's very efficient growth. That's what they mean by that. It's high value for the municipality for those reasons.
The rippling effect to this is significant. It's far beyond 200 units. The director, explain to us what the difference is between, because it speaks to it in here, the difference between gateway zoning and residential zoning.
Yeah, the gateway district, as written up generally in the zoning ordinance, was the...
One second, Director. Solicitor Walsh.
Just to not conflate the two issues, we are on the comprehensive plan portion. The zone change would be more appropriate under to be discussed under the next item.
I got the notes on PCO 922, so I'm going to assume when I made that note, it was when I was reading the content of 922, but you could be right. I didn't indicate a specific page number on that, so you seem to feel it's in the other one coming up?
Yeah.
I don't care when I get
this
the
evening
answer
we're
now
proceeding
or then.
This evening we're proceeding with two separate actions. The first, which we are in the public hearing on right now, is pertaining to the changes to the comprehensive plan. The next item on the agenda is specific to the zone change. So I just wanted to intervene at this time to say that that line of inquiry was more likely appropriate for the next item.
That's fine. Can you speak to us regarding contaminated soil on that property?
No.
No, there is none, or no, we don't know?
I don't believe we know.
Okay.
That's something that the applicants here, be probably a good question for them.
Is someone here that can answer that question? Well, let me rephrase the question. Should contaminated soil be found or any hazardous waste found on that property, who is responsible for cleaning it up?
The owner.
Okay. I do have another point to make, and just bear with me. This is regarding all the sign-offs that we've received from the different department heads. It may be in the next one.
Of which there'll be more too. Like the planning board did get award master plan approval. The next stage in the planning process is the very detailed engineering work where staff recommendations will come around again. They'll have another chance to review the specific designs. Important to that is going to be the width of Kilvert Street and the pedestrian connection we want to see to the intermodal district. Because you know where they put the solar farm in there, there's a pinch point with the utility poles, and we want to make sure that we're making a safe connection for people who live here back to city center.
A point I just want to make on the notary page, the page that's notarized, I just want to make a note that the date that the individual signed that document is the same date that the notary notarized it. Just want to put that out there. From our tax assessor, Mr. Dupuy, he has, it says for use of tax assessor, blah, blah, blah. Assessed value of property, $9,591,100. It has annual taxes, $183,951. Is that before the completion of this project?
I have to imagine.
Gotta be. Right. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. It didn't state it there, but I was assuming. Particularly with the low annual taxes, it had to be pre-development. That's it. That's all I have on that one.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Okay, so now we're going to open up the public hearing. Is there anyone here this evening that would like to speak in favor of this project? Again, this is PCO 9-22. Is there an applicant here or representative that would like to say anything as well? Come on down, sir. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Council President, members of the City Council, my name is John Bolton. I'm an attorney. The law offices of Hinckley Allen and Providence, and I represent the applicant AR Building Company. The applicant, a representative from the applicant, Jason Kambitsis, is here this evening. If you have any questions you want to ask him directly, we also have our development team of engineers and other professionals here to answer any questions. Your planning director, I think, outlined this process better than I could, but to emphasize, you know, we're seeking the comp plan amendment, which is what this public hearing is now, my understanding, and then the subsequent zone change amendment, so we can proceed with the process that we've already started with the planning board, and that's the major land development, the project-specific review. We've received the master plan approval back in March. Should the council grant the comp plan amendment and the zone change, we would then go back to the planning board with fully engineered plans for both preliminary approval and final approval. So we're one step of the three steps along that process with the planning board, and we would certainly invite any member of the council or any member of the public to participate in that public process with the planning board, because that's really when we get into the meat and potatoes of the presentation with respect to traffic and all the other engineering aspects of the project. But should you have any questions for us this evening, again, our team is here to be available for those questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We love the meat and potatoes here, right, Councilman Lattiser?
Sure.
So is there anybody here this evening that would like to speak in favor? Again, this is just on the comp plan. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor? Any members of the public would like to speak in favor? Is there any members of the public that would like to speak against the comp plan change that's proposed?
Philip Dirkholz, Sr., Ward 4. I don't know if I'm for or against. I'd like to ask some questions. Is this project in the wetlands or abutting the wetlands?
Yeah. Director?
Yes, there are wetlands in the vicinity, and this project, of course, must comply with the setbacks that DEM establishes.
It's abutting the wetlands or in the wetlands?
Abutting.
Okay. There's 200 units?
Correct.
How many parking places are there?
Director.
I know it complies with the 1.5 spaces per unit. I think the applicant has the exact number.
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
I can ask the applicant for the precise number.
From originally
300 spaces.
And there's 200 units?
Correct.
Doesn't sound like enough parking for me, does it? What to me? Well, I'm up in the air. I got to see what the layout is for the wetlands, but as you destroy the habitat for our wildlife, they move into the public domain at our homes. So again, another destruction of wildlife habitat. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this project?
Good evening, I'm Kate Fitzpatrick. I've looked extensively at this particular property, and 36 acres, a large portion of it is a former brownfield site. There's 23 acres that are a solar farm, and there's 13 that are currently a wetlands that abut this 8.5 acre property they're looking to build on. That remediation site is still active. And I was a little shocked to hear that there's no contaminated soil on site, because we have documented that through the city of Warwick as a soil conservation on property, forgive me, I'm a little nervous, on lot 146, right, the solar farm. If you drive by, you can see on the property, it's marked out, they look like driveway stakes that you would use to plow. That site is still actively being remediated. I have spoke with DEM and submitted public records requests and received all the information current. They haven't met their compliance goals. Their remedial action work plan has been active since 2016. There is no letter of compliance. This site has not been finished. You have not met your remediation goals. There will be an environmental land use restriction on this property. DEM regulations require when you remediate, if you store contaminated soil on site, which has happened at this property, that you restrict that property to commercial and industrial use only. That environmental land use restriction has not been issued yet because the site hasn't been completed and met its compliance goals. It would be irresponsible to rezone land that has an environmental land use restriction coming its way that hasn't been completed. I don't understand how we can approve this without our environmental land use restriction and a letter of compliance completing the remediation project. And that's my question today. Do you have your environmental land use restriction that will be issued on that property?
Yeah, I don't want to diminish the importance of developing property in a safe way. You mentioned the solar property. There are several different properties that you mentioned. If, and to the extent that an environmental land use restriction applies to this property, that will absolutely be discussed at the planning board's preliminary hearing, where in which the public will have the opportunity to speak again. And this property, if it was contaminated and it had those restrictions, the applicant would have to get approval from DEM to use the site the way that they're asking to use the site. And to the extent that contamination requires soil removal or test wells or what have you, all that will have to be looked at during the preliminary meeting with the planning board. And that's important. We realize that.
That is the question at hand today. Lots 145, 146, and 147 are looking to be rezoned in the future land use map, going from technology light to mixed use, which would include residential. DEM has provided me with all the documentation, including the remedial action work plan, which states the ELUR, environmental land use restriction, for the entire property will restrict the property to use commercial industrial use only. No residential activity is allowed. That's 36 acres of this property, lots 147 and 146. 36 acres of this land that they're looking to rezone is an active remediation site that will be subject to an environmental land use restriction. I have confirmed that with several environmental scientists at DEM. And I ask you today, why do you not have the environmental land? I asked this client directly for this document. I am also a member of the Warwick Land Trust, and they presented this information to us. And I directly asked about the environmental land use restriction on this property, and they said they weren't sure. The reason they're not sure is because it hasn't been issued yet, because the compliance goals for that remediation property, 36 acres, this is a large parcel. This is the majority of this land we're looking to rezone.
I just wanted to say the applicant wants to respond. I will say, though, my past experience, I share the concerns of the resident, and I understand it. We did in Barreville and the village of Harrisville, we did a substantial brownfields redevelopment for mixed-income housing, low-income housing in Harrisville called the Clock Tower Mill in Stillwater Heights. And it can be done. I just want to say that you can safely put residential housing in this environment. It's very likely that all the parcels in this urban area of Jefferson have some contamination on them, for sure. So, but I'll let the applicant speak to the specifics on the DEM challenges.
If I may just respond to that, the entire scope of this project, the 36-acre remediation site, was in a completely general industrialized area. That's part of your remediation, right? You look at the scope of the land and the use and who abuts that. So when this remediation plan was developed, it was an entirely general industrial area, which is why they chose the pathway to store that contaminated soil on site. You bury it, you cover it up, you mark it. It's not a bad plan for a general industrial site. It's actually a decent use of land for a solar farm. However, the limits on a commercial industrial property and the idea of storing contaminated soil on site is much different when you start talking about a residential area. So it can be done safely, that is true. But this project and this remediation was done as a general industrial area with no residential abutters.
Council President, if I can respond. With respect to any remedial action plan applicable to any properties, and I think some of the confusion comes from the development site where we want to develop these high-end apartments consists of one lot, lot 145. That lot is not subject to any environmental restrictions, any remediation plan, and has not been determined to have any contamination. Let's make that very, very clear. So when these apartments are built, there is no soil remediation, there is no environmental land use restriction that will apply to lot 145. Lot 146 and lot 147, the adjacent lots, including the solar lot, those were included in the zone change because they were under common control and are adjacent to that. But we're not developing those sites, and we will not be seeking any environmental land use restrictions or any other relief from DEM for the development of the apartments, which is limited to lot 145.
The reason you need to rezone the solar farm and the abutting wetlands, which are all part of that 36-acre site, is because it would look very silly if you just had a residential island in the middle of a general industrial area. There's no other residential properties abutting lot 145 where you're looking to build. So you need to make a pathway to that residential by changing, which is what is before you today, lots 145, 146, and 147 from light industrial to mixed use. How can you have something mixed use permissible with residential if the land will have environmental land use restrictions? I also contacted DEM about lot 145 because, as you said earlier, that was approved for commercial. They had nothing on record for that lot for any environmental due diligence. So my question is, how do you know this is residentially clean when in the past you've only had commercial plans for it?
Well, this applicant is not going to make the investment and spend the money they are for this property without doing their due diligence, including the environmental due diligence on the property. So perhaps not the answer you wanted to hear. The environmental land use restriction, any environmental restrictions do not pertain to the development lot. And I think Director Kravitz explained much better than I could as to why it was determined in our conversations with the planning staff and the planning board that it made more sense not to just zone this one lot, and not just to zone, you indicated we're here tonight to zone three lots. That's not true. We're zoning many more than that, because what the planning staff and the planning board determined was a good idea from a planning standpoint, and we agree, is to rezone the entire corridor of the lots from the existing intermodal district out to this site.
For application for the comprehensive plan change that went before the land trust only included lots 145, 146, and 147.
And that's not correct.
For the future land use map?
That's not correct.
I think you should check that.
I don't need to.
Neither do I.
Okay.
And as I said, it's because it makes sense, because would lot 145 have any residential abutters if you did not change the wetlands in the solar farm that are currently actively being remediated?
We would have been happy to rezone the one lot. We were in discussions again with the planning staff and planning board that it was determined that it made more sense from a planning standpoint to rezone the entire corridor.
So if you could just answer my question, yes or no, would lot 145 have any residential abutters?
I'm sorry?
Lots 146 and 147 remained under the ELUR, commercial industrial?
The properties, all of them are currently zoned general industrial and being rezoned to gateway. We're not zoning any property residential.
But you're putting residential housing, 200 units on lot 145.
Correct, which is permitted in a gateway zone.
So is there any residential around that lot 145?
Currently?
Currently, correct.
No, nor is there any residential on lot 145 currently.
Yeah, that's my question, that there would be no residential, there is no residential around that. So you need to create a corridor with this mixed use idea in order to have without a residential island. You would have a residential island in a general industrial area if you permitted the housing development on lot 145.
We don't need to do it. It was determined by the planning staff and planning board in our conversations with them that made more planning sense.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm gonna have to pause there. We have other people that would like to speak.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good evening, Michelle Comar.
I live in Ward 1. I have a question first. The two public hearings tonight, are they on the same properties? That's PCO 922, which is this public hearing, and the next, which is PCO 1022. Are they both on the same properties?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, not an attorney, but we learned from the solar ordinance proceedings, you might have heard the solar developer have an attorney that said, hey, you can't change the comp plan to match what we want to do. Either the project's consistent with the existing comp plan or it's not. And we understood, and I respect Director Kravitz because I agree with him, we didn't have solar in our comprehensive plan. There was one word, if you Google, one word. So we didn't have an inconsistency issue. We updated our comp plan to include this new technology. In this case, you've got land that went through the public hearing workshop process to update our comp plan. There's a map. Everybody expects to see developed what is on the map in the comprehensive plan. We're doing what's proposed right now tonight is to do exactly what the solar attorney was trying to argue. We've got a project. We need to change the comp plan because we're not consistent with the comp plan. I mean, I haven't really delved into the project specifics, but this is what the council's looking at tonight. Change the comp plan. Everything's hunky-dory with the zone change you're going to be voting on. The planning board has to issue a decision. This is, and the planning department's recommendation, is this consistent with the comp plan or not? Obviously, it's not, because they're coming for a comprehensive plan change before the council. You vote this change, then sure, the next hearing, after the state reviews this and adopts it, which takes time to make a comp plan change, then the council is going to be voting on a new comp plan for consistency. I have questions regarding that. The other issue I have is general industrial. We don't have a lot of general industrial property. In fact, there are some communities in Rhode Island that want to preserve general industrial because you can't go back and say, oh, we want to build an industrial activity on this property. There's only few properties that we can build certain industrial on by right, and that's general industrial. Take away those properties and make them residential, you lose that, especially if this is not a residential area. It just seems like hodgepodge zoning going on here. Spot zoning is what I want to call it. It may be a glorious plan for new housing, but it's not consistent with our comp plan and what our community worked with past administrations when this plan was adopted. So I question the consistency with the comp plan and the council changing the comp plan so then the zone change looks okay. And I question the whole philosophy of losing general industrial property because you can't regain it back. You know the residents would come out and say, we don't want industrial activities next to our residents. Once gone, it doesn't come back. So I don't like the loss of general industrial because that's what's predictable for the citizens of Warwick to see there. And if there is a environmental land use restriction question in hand still, I'd like to see all the environmental testing go on to determine the limits of that. It requires a survey and testing to define the limits. If those haven't been uniquely defined and accepted by DEM, then I think it would be premature for the council to vote on this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who hasn't had a chance to speak yet who would like to speak?
Mr. President, Councilman Howe, may I?
I want to get through the public.
Thank you.
And then we'll come back to the council. Go ahead, Mr. Durkle.
Philip Durkle, facilitator for Friends of Warwick Ponds. After hearing those two young ladies speak and the issues that they brought up, as well as are advocating for the wetlands for water quality in this city. We have to take that into consideration as we make these decisions going forward. It's all well and good to look at the money that the state or the city will be taking in. Many times that's not worth it, as we've seen with other projects in this city that have cost us additional money because of environmental issues. The Mickey Stevens Arena right now, I think Councilman Howe is working on that. And there's a remediation problem there going on. So again, these issues are very important and could be more costly